Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Mike Johnson, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Ray Ferraro, our hockey analyst, will join us here in just a moment. Gary Bettman speaking in the last hour about their plans for the future, and there were some details. There were some interesting points that came out of it. We're not going to get into all the math surrounding everything. But I think what came out of the draft lottery, to simplify it, is there will be the top three spots available via the draft, just like every other year. Yep. So that isn't changing. The lottery is up for grabs for picks 1, 2, and 3, and there will be 15 teams involved in the lottery. Now, it gets complicated beyond that. We're not going to bore you with all the details and try to explain it here, but that is something that came out of today. The draft lottery will happen end of June. I didn't see them announce when the draft actually will take place, but I may have missed that. But as for them actually playing games, which I think matters for most people in the country outside of Ottawa and certainly here in Toronto, the timeline is what I think most people are considering to be the biggest news here. There will be two hub cities, but they didn't say which ones. There's still 10 teams in the running. I guess Bettman did indicate that if there's like a two-week quarantine, that might be a little bit of an issue for them. Basically, wink, wink, Canada, wink, wink. But it sounds as if they're not going to start training camps until early to mid-July. And if they're committed to a three-week training camp, we're probably not talking about games until the end of July or early August.
Yeah. I don't know if it's been said they're committed to 3 weeks. Every guy I've been talking about or talking to says I need 2 weeks. So give me 2 weeks to, you know, of training camp. So if it's mid-July, I think you get going that first week of August and you play for 2 months. And then, you know, you play for August and September. I think they're going to play for 2 months because the one thing, and again, I'm not going to get into the details because I just was reading kind of on the side, but it sounds like they're still trying to figure out if they're going to play best of fives or best of sevens. The Stanley Cup final is going to be a best of seven, but they're still trying to figure out. So that would shorten the window as far as how many games. That could buy them a little bit more time in a format. But I think it's going to be two solid months of hockey, and you're either going to be in that bubble for 2 weeks or 2 months, like if you're
Noodles,
a player.
I think the key is they're not in a rush. Like you talk about 2 months, if it takes 2.5, they don't care. We can't reiterate enough that all sports leagues are not in a rush to finish this year so they can start next year. Everyone's like, oh, just cancel it starting in September. They don't want to start in September. They want to start in December. They want to allow as much time to pass as possible so they have a chance to play as close to a full of a season with fans in the stands, however that is able to happen. Hopefully vaccine. Maybe it's medication. Who knows how it goes down? But they don't want this to end until the end of September. They are more than happy to go August 1st to October 10th and then take their 2 months from there. So there is no rush whatsoever because of what next year means.
Well, I agree. And I think, Brian, you've talked about this at length. Like, you know, this is going to be an outlier, this 24-team tournament. I still think it's going to be very exciting and amazing. But to get back to normal, that's fans in the stands. So you're right. The National Hockey League's not going to go, oh, let's cancel this and let's see what it looks like in September. There's no guarantee. And really, by the way things are trending, there's no way in hell that people are going to be sitting in any type of stands in September. So why not buy it right through to January?
Right.
Maybe there's a chance that's another 4 months of education, 4 months of research, all of that. And we've got to get our heads wrapped around, like, we're going to see hockey in summer, maybe 2 years in a row, maybe three, depending on the timelines. Like, and then they're going to try and get back to normal and shorten those bye weeks and take out the All-Star game and stuff like that to try and condense things to get back to normal. But I think for sure the next year and a half or next two seasons of hockey, whatever you want to talk about it, there's going to be summer hockey.
And yeah, that seems likely. I think if they're committed to 82 games next year, which they're not even really getting into that, they're not going to talk about it publicly because they're still trying to wrap up this season. But if they're committed to 82 and they start, let's say, January 1st, that would suggest you're going into June before you even start the playoffs. Right. Likely, anyway. And who knows where we're going to be at with travel at that point. Maybe they have to do the playoffs in hub cities again next year. I doubt it if they're playing the regular season in their own buildings. But you never know. I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But Bettman did say, you know, the regular season is officially over. So if you're tracking the awards will be handed out at some point. But a couple of them have already been determined. Leon Draisaitl wins the Art Ross. He is the scoring champ with 110 points. And Pasternak and Ovechkin will share the Rocket with, I believe, 48 goals 48. In the season. Matthews had 47. Matthews missed by one. So first time there has been co-winners of the Rocket since 09-10 when Crosby and Stamkos both shared the same amount of goals. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is Ray Ferraro. Ray, we've been talking about, you know, the Bettman announcement and whether or not any substantial news would really come out of it other than what we've already known, the 2014 playoff format. And I guess there were some things that came out of it in terms of a timeline, in terms of the draft lottery. What stood out for you?
Well, I guess the draft lottery and trying to figure out what it all means. You know, the timeline, you know, he gave – what's important, and that's the league timeline. It doesn't matter what we kind of thought sort of maybe was going to happen. This is really what, you know, here's our timeline. This is when we're going to try to get into it. So I think most people will like that. I mean, you appreciate that there's kind of a definitive date, although if there's a little gray area to that. But the lottery, I'm still a little shaky on that. So, like, Pittsburgh and Montreal play 5-12. The loser's out. They're in the lottery. Where does, say it's Pittsburgh, where do they go in the lottery?
They would go at the bottom because those eight teams that get eliminated get ranked by points percentage. So whoever has the highest points has the worst odds in the lottery.
And Ray,
amongst the extra eight team that lose in.
Ray, you're driving, right? Because Johnny's going to send you a chart and go through it with PowerPoint.
My head exploded in the last segment. Like Johnny hit it like right on the nail. He explained it appropriately.
Exactly.
But I'm trying to keep track of it. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here. Like, are we still talking about the lottery, or are we building a rocket to get to Mars? Like, it's so confusing. And, you know, and listen, they're going to have to explain it at some point because there are – I do think there's really seven markets that actually care about the draft lottery right now. And then I guess 16 that kind of care because if they lose, then they're in it. But if they win, then they're moving on. So what do they care about that detail? But, you know, if you're in Ottawa or Detroit, I don't think this is good news. I think you were hoping – it's terrible news. You were hoping that only the seven teams could end up with the top three spots, and maybe teams could only move a certain amount of positions. This would suggest that, yes, Pittsburgh could lose and then end up with the first pick. Like, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and I guess what I don't like about that thought is – you know, we've discussed a billion times that things are going to be different this year than they've ever been, and we've got to be open-minded to things that are going to change. But it doesn't seem fair or right. Fair is probably the wrong word. It doesn't seem right that the rules of the lottery would change in the midst of this. Like, why wouldn't you just have it the same way? And if you want to change it next year before the start of the season when everybody will know what it all looks like for the course of the year. Seems a little bit, I don't know, just not right to change it now.
Well, Ray, I think what they were terrified of was if they're going to have 24 teams, that you have a team play their way into the playoffs in the round robin, advance a couple rounds, maybe even win a Stanley Cup, and win a lottery. So if you know, if you put all the 15 worst teams that would have missed the playoffs by points percentage in the lottery, they're worried about someone advancing the playoffs and getting the best of both worlds, and so they're trying to prevent that from happening by only allowing the teams that lose out in the play-in round to be the extra teams.
Okay, but so maybe I've misunderstood, but so once we get through those eight first-round, or eight, they're not even play-ins. The playoffs, but the play-in round, and right. So you've got eight teams that add to the seven, now you've got 15. Are the rules for those 15 teams, the points percentages, the same as they would have been last year?
Yes, they're laid out in a chart already. You'll have to see it online, but there is a chart that lays out the percentages from, I guess, 8 to 15.
But so if it doesn't change from last year, then really it's no different for Ottawa and Detroit. You've got the same percentage as you had before.
Yep.
Yes, exactly. I think
they talked about maybe just having a draft where you could only flip one spot, and where Detroit would be guaranteed a top two pick, and that changes it. But yeah, basically they are where they thought they would be for those bottom seven teams.
See, I'm okay with that, guys, because I think I would have not liked it, you know, that you could only flip one spot, because those weren't the rules when we started.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I'm okay with as it is, to have the draft lottery post, or, you know, the list of teams will be known post the play-in round. Mm-hmm. I'm all good with that. I think that's probably about the best that they were going to do.
Well, and this is just another example of how there's always going to be detractors. There's always going to be people that are rattled, and it's right. That's just natural. It's going to happen because history would tell us someone's going to win the lottery. Like, someone's going to move up that's going to play another game this year. Someone will lose in the play-in round and then move up. They may move up to the third pick. They may not get the first pick, so it won't be as loud, and there won't be as many people rattled about the situation, but it likely will happen. But what are you going to do? You know, COVID-19 hit. You're trying to make the best of a weird situation and a situation that no one wanted. And I think they're trying to please as many people as possible. But, this is what we got. It's confusing.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they're going to have the draft lottery end of June. They're not going to actually have the draft until after the playoffs. So it does sound like that's not going to happen until September or October based on the timeline. And I think that detail is significant because it sounds like they're committed to a three-week training camp. That may not be guaranteed, but it kind of sounds like they're building that in. And Bettman did say they don't think the training camps will start until early July. So if we're talking August, Ray, that's just one more month away from the game. And I don't know if it adds any rust necessarily, but it kicks the can that much further down the road before you play another game.
Yeah, I don't think it adds any more rust. I'm curious what you guys think, but like after a certain point, there's only so much rust that can be there. You know, like you either feel good or you feel crappy, and it's going to take you a little bit of time to get your legs under you. Now, what I did like about the without the exact date being mentioned, but what I did like was that the players now will have a 3-week run-up, if you will, to training camp. Four to 5-week run-up.
Yeah.
So their conditioning can already take another jump. And so by the time they get there, and don't you think like by the time they get there, at least most of their or a lot of their conditioning worries can be in their back pocket. Yeah. And then it'll just be trying to get up to speed. If they tried to jump into a training camp, man, it would be chaos right now. Nobody would be in shape. Guys would be pulling hamstrings and tweaking groins all over the place. And now they're going to have a little bit of time because they're going to be under team guidance, if you will. Like, I know there's only six guys in the facility, but they can say, hey, look, guys, here are the benchmarks we want to touch each week so we can help build up your strength and conditioning before camp starts. I think that's a real benefit of this.
Well, what about the top four round robin and how that may be a bit of a competitive disadvantage because you're still alive. In other words, the top four seeds in the East and the top four seeds in the West, they are going to play a round robin to reseed. So, going back to the vote, this is why I expected if someone was going to vote no, I thought it would be Boston. Because Boston was cruising to the top seed in the East. And top seed overall. They were going to win the President's Trophy. There was no one even close. And now they could finish with the fourth seed and technically have road games, which won't mean anything with fans, but it will mean something with last change, which will be substantial in terms of game planning. But it sounds like they're gonna have that round robin, but if you're playing in that and you know that you're not gonna be eliminated, Do you feel like the intensity is going to be anywhere close to the team you're eventually going to face, who just had to win a best-of-five series?
Well, I would say that's this is probably a really good indication of why you pay your coach millions of dollars. Find a way to make those games internally important, because they're critical for you to be able to play a team that's already played games that are ramped up. So the way that you run the last week of your training camp and then into those round-robin games, which to me really seem like made-up games to keep them busy anyway.
Right.
But make sure those games mean something, because you have to find a way to get your team as ready as possible. And quite frankly, yes, it's on the players, but that's also on the coaches to coach like there's immediacy and importance to those games. Don't just coach to try and get everybody into the game. Coach because you need them to be ready to play.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing that still hasn't been clarified for me, guys, is are they going to play a couple exhibition games before they get into it, or are you just having 3 weeks and going, okay, we're starting tomorrow, and you're not tomorrow, but starting after those 3 weeks, like into real games? And in those training camps, are you just going to have inter-squad games to kind of get you into game shape? Like, there's doesn't seem to be any, like, 2 to 3 games exhibition schedule before you get right into this tournament.
No, it doesn't seem like it, does it?
And, yeah.
But when you think of it, or for me anyway, you don't really want those exhibition games from a health perspective, whether it be, you know, physical health or the COVID stuff. That, man, the less times you put yourself in harm's way, the better. And so you might have to make do with training camp scrimmage, if you will, and those preliminary the round robin games. You might just have to make do with it.
Right.
Yeah. Ray, do you think now that we kind of work back from the timeline, you're talking about July training camp, you're talking about 5 weeks, June into July of this phase 2, does it seem more important now that guys don't have to get back right away for this? Because 5 weeks skating kind of by yourself in this lockdown, six-man unit at your practice rink, that might almost be too long, wouldn't it?
Well, when I heard that, my first thought was, man, is this going to get boring?
Yeah.
Like, there's six guys in there, you know, you got to hope that one of them's a goalie so you don't have to shoot against the crossbar or against the shooter tutor. But you can only do so much, right?
Exactly. Like,
the first week will be great. You'll be able to skate around and, you know, you'll be able to pass the puck to somebody and you'll be at the rink and that'll be awesome. And the second week might be okay, but by week 3, you're going to be like, damn, can we move on to something else?
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that's an issue that they're going to have to, the player, when I say issue, it's a challenge for the players and the coaches to have to work through. Now, maybe, I don't know this, maybe you guys know, like, can you vary the six guys that are at the rink?
Yeah, presumably, yeah.
I would imagine, yes.
Okay, so what if one day you bring your power play there?
Yeah,
and then another time you bring a line there and you say, okay, we're going to work on some forecheck stuff and some cycling around. Like, you can do all that stuff, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't think you're supposed to be within 6 feet of each other. So
as long as you don't get too close to each other.
You can run routes.
Can you work a six-foot cycle? I guess so. I mean, no one's cycling.
Well, I don't know. I've seen some teams cycle and they're 14 feet apart.
No kidding.
To be able to I think you got to be able to at least build an approximation, maybe, Brian, of what a cycle might be. My point is, you're going to have to do something to jazz it up. To Johnny's point, like, jazz it up, make it interesting. Like, you got to have something.
Right.
Guys will check out. Guys will check out mentally, and then they'll check out physically come week 4 of what? Doing wallies and one-timers. Like, there's only so much they can do.
I think there is going to be some creativity, and it sounds like you have 6 guys in, and then they bring in the cleaning crew, and you can have another 6 guys in. You can vary that. And you know what? Your slot may be, hey, at 4, you're skating 4 o'clock on Wednesday, and you're skating at 9 a.m. on Thursday. Like, they're going to slot it out, and you have to mix and match. You can't have the same 6 guys. That's the one thing I took out of that 22-page document, was that goaltenders were allowed a little extra time, and they had to hire a goalie coach outside of their own organization's goalie coach, which I thought was unique. But they were allowed more time, and I think that's, to your point, Ray, guys not shooting at crossbars and shooter tutors, you're at least going to have access to a goaltender to shoot on. You need one. You can't have six guys out there shooting at a dummy.
Yeah.
See, Noodle, see how much we value you guys? Just get me a goalie in there. Yeah. I don't even care.
Anybody.
Somebody.
I did use the word dummy, the practice dummy, so and I feel like I was one for many years, but it is what it is. Like, if, I don't mind that. Like, I was thinking how a guy like Frederik Andersen is going to ramp things up. I would imagine he's going to hire a goaltender coach outside who will be in touch with Steve Briere to run through a couple drills, that type of stuff. Like, you know what you want to work on. But it'll be interesting to see how these guys train, what they're going to be looking to do while they're training, when things are not, like, are you going to be able to have a guy in front of the net screening and tipping shots? I don't think you can, right? Six feet.
Unless you're 6 feet
not
away.
Not until training camp, yeah, I guess.
Right.
Not till July, right?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, again, I think as much as we got some answers, as I expected and as I suspected, there was not a ton of concrete answers,
right,
that we weren't aware of prior to today. But it does feel like it's a step for sure. And I think they're going to play, which is obviously what we really want to hear and want to know. We'll leave it there. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5, buddy.
Talk to you then, boys. Have a good one.
Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at mapletoyota.com. So Bettman is still kind of talking and doing the rounds, and it sounds like he's making it pretty clear to the Canadian government that a 14-day quarantine isn't going to happen. So, in other words, if you want to be a hub city and you think you're going to ask us to all show up and then sit in our rooms for 14 days, we're not coming. So that's going to be on the Canadian government to make a decision on whether or not they think it's worth it to waive that decision.
Ryan Rashog, who's been all over this out in Edmonton and been right tapped in, talked with the premier and everything, suggested that 14 days, Hayes, could occur in the bubble. Like, they could be going to the rink, like the self-contained NHL bubble. So not just sit in your room, but just go through the process of going to practice, playing games, but you have to stay inside the bubble. You can't get out of the public,
right,
maybe to go eat or go walk. But in that sense, maybe more manageable.
Well, it could be, but maybe it's not enough.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's say it's Toronto. The guys have to come in, but they could still work out in the facility provided. They could still, you know, go back and forth to the hotel with the buses or what's provided, but they're under quarantine. Like, that's I think it's manageable. I don't think it's a hill the NHL is going to die on if they believe that one of these Canadian hubs is the best suited for their league to resume, whether that's Toronto, Vancouver, or Edmonton. But I guess
if you have options of cities that don't have that restriction,
right,
that are kind of the same. I mean, Ty goes to one where I don't have to sit in my room for 2 weeks.
Exactly. But I also think you gotta consider we could be in a very different position as a country 2 months from now, right? Like, if they're not all coming together and congregating in the hub city until, let's say, July 25th, literally 2 months from now, it may be a different situation, especially if you're going to Alberta where – they may, by that point, maybe there's no cases. Like, today I saw no new cases in the province of Manitoba. There are some active cases, but no new cases. And, you know, Western Canada has done a pretty good job of that. We're pretty much talking Southern Ontario and parts of Quebec that continue to show outbreaks and show cases. And that's why Toronto was listed as one of the 10 cities that is still in consideration. And I kind of get the impression like they're pushing for it and they'd like to be included, but I'm not sure I see that as a feasible option because of where we are as a market right now, compared to what other markets may have in terms of testing and in terms of actual outbreaks. And
there's only three Eastern Conference teams, though, of those 10, Hayes. There's only three Eastern Conference teams, right? Pitt, Columbus,
and Toronto. And I'm not sure they're committed to having an Eastern team. I don't know if they feel they need to.
I don't know.
But logistically, might make more sense.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if you saw Frank Saravelli's tweet, but he was talking that, you know, if it seems like a virtual lock. I don't know if that's true or not. If Vegas is one, they could be the Eastern hub. But, you know, people are asking, like, there's going to be multiple games per day. Like, you're going to get the Eastern, you know, I guess population is going to get their teams at prime time, but they're also going to get, like, their team is traveling out to San Jose and playing a 10 o'clock game as well. Like, it's going to be mixed and matched, because I would argue if you've got two major buildings, it's probably going to be 2 to 3 games per day. If you've got, mm-hmm. you know, 6 games going on, staggered in between, you know, day after day. Like, I think it's feasible. They've got it all laid out. But, man, to this point, it just, you keep asking more and more questions. Like, what's this going to look like? What's that going to look like? Like, I would love for him if he came out and said today, like, Vegas and Vancouver, Vegas, Edmonton, Vegas, Toronto, right. something like that. Then we could kind of get our mind wrapped around it. But maybe that's in the weeks to come here.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, I guess we do have time. I mean, as you said, Johnny, like, they're committed to getting this done when they feel they have to get it done. Like, if it leaks into August, into September, into October, I guess they'll do it. And if that's the case, they're going to make sure that they have everything figured out before they pick a hub city. And there's likely some politics involved in picking a hub city as well, because what it's going to mean for that market and the economy and the idea that you're kind of sending out this message that, hey, we're open for business, which I think is very valuable. And like, I could see Vegas being picked if logistically it makes the most sense, then you go for it, because safety clearly is the top priority. It has to be. But I could see there being a lot of blowback on that. Like, wait a minute, they've been in the league for 3 years,
right?
Like, we've been in the league for 100. We want it, you know. And don't kid yourself, that kind of conversation will come up.
Sure.
And it wouldn't surprise me if it already has. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, we're, I would do it.
I would too.
Please.
If I and
we
and
generate the revenues, we drive the business. We're the biggest team. We've got the history. I don't want to hear about a franchise 2 years old. I don't care if they're good. I don't care if they have hotels. We got hotels too.
Right.
We got a Canadian dollar that's worth a lot less than the American dollar. Come on north of the border if we're safe.
Like, yep.
That, yeah, you would make that argument passionately.
You most certainly would, for sure. All right, so we'll continue to get you more details on what was announced here from the NHL today, what it means going forward, the timeline, what it means for the Maple Leafs. We'll touch on that, because based on this, it sounds like it'll be Leafs-Columbus, likely a best-of-five series, just to get into the playoffs, because they have determined that this little playoff round is not technically is not going to be considered playoff games. So it's kind of just in the middle. It's not regular season. It's not playoff games. They're just games that happen, and then I guess the history books will erase them, and we'll move on.
And the stats don't count. Like, they're not playoff stats. They're not regular season stats. They're this weird sort of...
That it is a hybrid thing. It's a
hybrid. Does that show up in the arbitration case? I would bring it up.
I don't know.
If I light up the hybrid case?
Yeah. Get some new columns?
You got to, man.
If you end up going south in that too, and you know, score zero
didn't
goals
happen.
In four games, didn't happen.
Yeah,
nothing to see here.
Sorry,
folks.
Man.
Wipe from the hard drive.
I looked
never
on
happened.
HockeyDB, wasn't up there. Those games don't exist.
Yeah.
So we'll get you more details on that, and we'll touch on where the Leafs stand in all this. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, will join us around 6:25. So we'll. Get more details from Bob on the big announcement from Gary Bettman today that gave us some information, I think. I mean, we knew it was going to be a 24-team playoff, but he did say that the play-in games are not officially considered playoff games if you're a stat guy or, you know, based on history and all that. Also, it sounds like maybe a best-of-five or likely best-of-five to play in, but that first couple of rounds of the playoffs, once you get started, could be best of five as well, maybe best of seven. They haven't determined that yet. They're down to 10 potential cities for two hub cities. They will go with the two hub city situation, the east in one, the west in the other, but they haven't determined which cities those will be. No definitive dates on anything, but he did say training camps won't begin until first half of July. So that's it. I mean, the draft lottery will happen. The top three picks are up for grabs. There will be 15 teams involved in that.
Yeah.
That'll happen at the end of June. The draft itself will happen after the season concludes. And beyond that, what else do we have here?
Well,
hang on. One other thing that they acknowledged, though, wasn't decided, was whether they're going to go by brackets or by reseeding.
Yeah, by reseeding.
Which I know the top teams have talked a lot about. That's not determined yet. So that's still up in the air.
Sounds like the players were pushing for seeding and the league was pushing for brackets. So that could be your Devin Dubnyk, like, hey, we haven't decided on anything here yet,
type
of scenario. But I sense some like sarcasm in your voice, Hayes, where you're like, nah, nothing's been sorted out. You're like, we're still down. You're right, but I don't know.
Baby steps, man. Baby steps.
10% clearer than we were an hour and a half ago? Yeah, I think so. I mean, but there's still lots to be worked out. But I think there is a framework in place as to, you know, 3-week training camp. They got to figure out the quarantining situation. They got to figure out the hubs. I like the fact that he said it's going to be two hubs. Like that, I think that really narrows down. So now you know you're going to have 12 teams in each hub. And that looks like 600 people in a hotel. It sounds like they're limiting people, personnel to be there, and you know, 50 per team.
That is important though. And I will say I'm a little bit surprised he would go out and say that. Bettman would say that without an assurance publicly from the PA that they're cool with that, because again, based on what Devin Dubnyk had to say in the article with the Athletic, and Dubnyk is one player in the NHL, but he is the player rep in Minnesota. They haven't brokered a deal on a two hub system. If Bettman is saying this is the amount of people we're going to have, what does that say about family members? Like, that does appear to be a point of contention for the Players Association. Are we bringing our families or not? As did Bettman basically tell us you're that's not happening?
But I my understanding and the return to play committee, like some of the narrative coming out of it is the guys were like, listen, you know, we need to do this for the betterment of the game, the financial stability of the game. So, you know, we're going to be in this bubble for 2 weeks to 2 months. And, you know, I thought I heard Mark Giordano in one of his interviews in Calgary saying, hey, there's people that go off to in the military, that go to, you know, overseas. There's oil, you know, we talked about Alberta, guys who go into the rigs for 3 weeks at a time. He said it's a commitment. And he talked about himself personally, like, I'm willing to do that, even though, I mean, he's got young children. Like, not everyone may be on the same page, but it's going to be a commitment from these guys, because it doesn't sound like, and a lot of these guys, let's not forget, their parents are close with them. Half these guys' parents travel with them. Like, you know, they travel to watch the team play. That's not going to be the case. Like, they're not going to be sitting there in Vegas. You know, they're not going to be allowed in the bubble.
Well, but even that, well, like what the extent of the bubble, I think, is still debatable, is it not?
Right.
Like,
but it says 50 team personnel. So I think that just puts a cap on. You can't have the sports psychologist, like how many players, like that's just team personnel. I don't think, again, to Devin Dubnyk's point, they've decided on personal personnel. I mean, like, you know, if you can bring your families and what that all means, because that would expand the traveling party. You think about 12 teams, every team will have 50 people. Probably 30 plus players plus everybody else. You're going to put another, I don't know, couple hundred of family and children in the mix. Now you're talking about 800
that's
to
1,000
of people.
That's a lot.
That's beyond one hotel. That's multiple hotels.
I don't think it's happening. I really don't. I think these guys are going to have to be in there, unfortunately, on their own. Like I don't know. I mean, again,
well,
I'm
not
just
everyone's
going to
be
know.
There until the end, right? There'll only be two teams.
Well, that's
the
whole point,
the whole
right? Like, if you get there July 25th and you play in the play-in game and you get knocked out, even in five games, the first eight series go to five games, that's going to take 6 days to get into the city, and that series will take a week. So eight teams will be gone in 12 days.
That's what I mean. Like, that's a long
road
trip.
Which is a road trip, exactly. Yeah. Like, that's more than doable, clearly. And I would, again, assume that they've spoken with the players and they feel like the players – are aware of it and likely accepting of it. They likely have to go through the formality of voting on it. I'm sure there will be some people that will vote no, but I'm sure Bettman, he's fairly confident that that is all going to work out. He, again, doesn't say anything publicly unless he's pretty certain that it's locked in stone. He's careful and he's been doing this for a long time. Yeah. But based on this scenario, the Leafs would play Columbus and it would be a five-game play-in, and it's probably a coin flip. Right, it's
that
probably
more pressure or less pressure. That feels like so much pressure on Toronto.
More pressure. They got to beat Columbus.
Well,
that'll be what people in Toronto will say.
They're expected to win. we had Jody, I was on the lunch today, we had Jody Shelley on, and you know, Jody talked about their health. Obviously, Seth Jones will be healthy, Atkinson's healthy. They've had a few guys that were dinged up, and then they had some guys that came up and played very well, and some veteran guys who were not having great seasons. But they had the exact, if they didn't have the exact same amount of points as the Leafs, they were close. Like, I think they're within a point or something.
Yeah, oh,
like,
they were right there with them. Yeah.
Right there. Like, to your point, Brian,
81 each, 70 games each.
It's a coin flip, but I would argue the pressure's on the Leafs based on expectation, and the Leafs didn't have a great season. That's the thing. Like, Columbus was the most injured team in the National Hockey League, and they found a way to do it every night. They're great goaltending, and you know, their metrics, we had Mike Kelly on as well, and he said some of their underlying numbers, especially defensively, they were unreal. They were number one in the National Hockey League. But I would argue the pressure would be on the Leafs. Like,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
I'm expecting them to win that.
They may not be officially favored even in Vegas. I mean, the odds makers may make it close to a pick 'em. And I don't know how you handicap any of these rounds once
exactly.
we get there.
Based how does Vegas do this?
That's tough. It's going to be really tough. They're going to be sweating big time in Vegas. But I think based on the market, based on the Leafs running into Washington and then Boston in back-to-back years, like two superior teams, tough teams, losing in game sevens, the money, the focus, the market, the star power, everything would lead to the Maple Leafs having to find a way to win that. Like, if right. you lose to Columbus, and Columbus, they kind of got theirs last year. Like, they beat yeah. Tampa, and that was a yeah. big, you know, triumphant moment for them. I believe first time in their franchise history winning a playoff round. So, not that they don't want to double down on that. Not that they wouldn't be thinking, hey, we can get through Toronto and then roll the right. dice and see where we go here. Of course, they're not just going to hand it to anybody. No one would expect that. But the Leafs should be more desperate. The Leafs should feel like they've got more talent because they do. But they'll also have more pressure, for sure. They may not feel it, because if they're in Vegas or Edmonton or whatever, they're not going to be feeling it the way they would if they were building up for a series here in Toronto.
Yep, you're right. But I think they have to know. And again, we're not even going to be considering this the first round of the playoffs. Is it technically? It's not, right?
Knows.
It's going to be it is going to be the first round because you got to get there. And this is to further your playoff career. But, you know, it's the best of five. You can get a hot goaltender. Like, that's one thing that you know,
Columbus.
Well, Columbus had two of them. Like, that Korpisalo was having a seat. And then Elvis came in. And Elvis is a goalie. Like, he's a little scary for me because I think he's got more upside than Korpisalo. And there was a time there where he was getting on a heater and he was jumping into Foligno's arms at the end of games. It was a big show with him, eh? Like, this guy, he's a good goalie. And that's, you know, in a best of five, you have to think a goaltender's going to steal at least one game.
But there's there's the real focus
well,
of pressure.
Exactly.
Like, Freddie Anderson, he's
who
got
has
to
had,
be better.
I agree.
But, and he's had bad starts. He'll be coming off. It'd be like the start of a season for him. And he hasn't always been great
That's
to begin
point.
The year.
Yeah,
and it'll be like five
oh,
months
you're
off.
Right, Johnny. You're right. Yeah,
in October.
Okay,
and
here's
bad
our
game seven.
Here's a Jerry's percentage. Jack Campbell will be starting a game.
Oh, it won't matter if he does then.
I don't know.
No way.
Scary.
No chance.
Scary.
0%.
Well, I hope 0%. But I mean, I guess the only way that happens is if he is a mess and they're down 2-0 in the round.
I guess.
And they're right. like, I guess we have to try Jack here because he looks good in practice. I don't know. I mean, that would be the ultimate desperate move. And that would basically indicate you're dead before you've even started.
Right.
But that you bring up a good point, Johnny. That will be the biggest point of anxiety for Leaf fans is Freddie is known for bad starts, bad Octobers, and he doesn't have a great history in clinching games either. So if you get to a game five in this scenario, what are you getting? I mean, so, he might give you a great game three and four, but I don't know.
I was just going to say, he's going to be fine at 3 and 4, but don't worry about 1 and 2 and 5.
Like, yeah, 1, 2, and 5, listen, bit of an issue.
You know what? We don't know, though. That's the thing. Like, that's the great unknown is there. The body of work is thrown technically out the window in what you did last year because it's going to be so long between games. It's a summer. It's an off season. So, you know, I said this the other day. Leon Draisaitl just won the points, won the Art Ross. Like, there's no guarantee he's going to step on the ice and win it in the playoffs now. like, because it's a new season. And a guy who was having a dud for a season, all of a sudden Bobrovsky looks like, you know, the Bobrovsky that Florida decided to give $10 million. That could be the difference in an organization going on a long run.
Well, yeah. I mean, we'll see. There's still a lot to be determined. And training camps are going to be interesting as well. I would assume they'll all be in the host cities, but maybe not. I mean, do the New York teams congregate in New York, or do they go somewhere else?
Maybe they get a week or two in their own town and then go for the last week in the hub city. I don't
Maybe you can go use a team's facility that isn't involved. Like, maybe you go and you use Detroit's. You know, although
LA.
Detroit has been hit a little bit. L.A., California's been hit a little bit. But, you know, maybe Buffalo. Buffalo's upstate New York. Maybe they congregate in Buffalo. Who knows? And the same thing here in Toronto. I would assume Toronto would be – the Maple Leafs would be thinking we'll have a camp here if they're in on the hub city. Like, they're trying to become a hub city. I don't think they're going to say we can't host a training camp.
Right.
But they've got players that are scattered around the States and around Europe, like every team would at this point. But and the 14-day quarantine, that is – man, that's very – like, it's steeped in politics as well. Like,
well,
you don't want to – the idea of bending the knee to Gary Bettman in the NHL, that's tough. Like, that's tough to believe that Trudeau will do it, that the premiers will push for it, even if it makes a ton of economic sense, which I think it would. I think hosting this would mean a lot for a city and would generate a lot of money and a lot of buzz and send a very positive message. But it also would send a message that we're willing to bend the rules for Gary Bettman, who, you know, he's been okay to Canada. He hasn't been Mr. Canada, though, for 25 years.
But if you're quarantining within the bubble, you're technically still quarantining.
I don't know. What is that, though? Quarantining within the bubble? Like, mean?
It's like, a new turn.
I like it too. But the quarantining is you stay in your house, you have someone else go get you groceries. You don't leave for 2 weeks. You do not leave. If you're getting on a bus, if you're going to the restaurant, if you're going to the rink, that's not. Like, what kind of bubble is that? If you're going to play golf, if you're
right,
you know.
But if that's what they've created as the
quarantining is about
space,
separating you from the mass public, then you're effectively doing that with a group of people that have all been tested way more often. You could spin it, and if it's $20-30 million coming to Toronto or Edmonton or Vancouver, I think I'll swallow a little pride and say, you know what, these are not normal people. They're professional athletes. The health care that they're going to get, which is not going to come at our expense. And we've heard about the Maple Leafs, you know, providing tests, extra tests that can go to the public, whatever it is, they'll do a good job PR-wise. You know, I don't think you want to say no just out of pride.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, well, there you go. I mean, they're going to play. Unless something unforeseen happens, which clearly could, Bettman, the PA, they're playing. And they're going to find two hub cities, and it's going to be 24 teams. And that in and of itself is a huge positive. And if you're a hockey fan, that's what you want. Bob McKenzie in about a half an hour to break down more of the details out of the NHL's announcement today. And we'll touch on a couple of other stories, including what Damian Lillard had to say about him returning to play in the NBA. Jose Canseco's historic night 27 years ago today. We'll tell you about that in case, for whatever reason, you forgot. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Bob McKenzie will join us around 6:20, and we'll get back into the NHL's announcement from earlier today. I guess what you really have to take out of it is they're going to play, you know, or they're going to try to play, and now we wait on the NBA and Major League Baseball. And I saw that Damian Lillard from Portland said, you know, if he has to show up and play meaningless regular season games without a shot at making the playoffs, he's going to report, but just not play, which
it's a power move.
Yeah, it sounds very mature, but I'm also not surprised, and I honestly don't think he'll be alone. I think that's probably what you're going to see and why I don't think it'll end up happening. I think the NBA will just go straight to either 16 teams or some sort of a play-in format like the NHL has, because if you bring back everyone, the stars on the worst teams are just going to say, there's no point. Like, load management, I'm not going to go out there and injure myself and throw off next season. And I can't even say I blame them. I wish they would play. I'm sure the NBA wants them to play. You know, the TV partners would want them to play if they do it.
Right.
But and they might fine them. Like Damian Lillard, you'd have to fine him now because he's told you it's not injury. He's just not playing. Yeah. but they might eat the fine at that point.
But yeah, didn't Drew Doughty do this already? Like, this is what I think. This is part of the reason why the NHL is at 24 teams, because those bottom teams are like, we don't want to do this. Drew Doughty said, I don't want to come back and play 10 games.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think Dame Lillard is unique. Now, he said it out loud and he said it publicly, which is unusual. But I mean, I think all those teams that don't have a chance don't really feel like coming back and playing for 2 weeks. I wouldn't want to.
No, and that's why I think when cooler heads prevail, they'll just say, forget it. You know, and, yeah, and I kind of feel like the NBA may look at the NHL and say, let's do a play-in thing for extra TV games, for extra revenue, extra content. So I think the NHL may be kind of leading the charge here from that standpoint. So, yeah, we'll get more into this with Bob McKenzie in the next hour. We'll touch on the pictures of Mike Tyson circulating around the Internet as well, shredded. And it sounds like he's going to step in the ring and fight at some point. So we'll try to get more details on that as well. MJ's in here for the O-Dog with Jamie Noodles McLennan. I'm Brian Hayes. Hour 3 up next. Overdrive continues on TSN 4.